Here we are on the last day of 2005. Yeah, you've read stories and stuff. Here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, the land of cold winters and warm hearts. This is Joy Bubbles, your storyteller. If you'd like to reach me in person, just feel free to call 612-879-5010. Well, I had a wonderful time on Christmas. You know, there was a bunch of imaginary friends that come and sing to me and play and tell stories. And one of the stories Emily Friend told, she's my favorite imaginary friend. I've had her since I was real little. She told me about a time when she snuck and did something secret and sneaky. She was just watching around the store. You know, being imaginary, she can float in the air and everything. And she saw this little girl come, and her and her father were there. And he was very much in a hurry and that kind of stuff. And they were going to buy a dress for a party. Well, in the window, this little girl named Deirdre, she saw a dress that was exactly like the one she's always wanted. It was a fairy dress. I'm going to have to find out what a fairy dress is. I bet somebody knows. But this was a fairy dress, and it was a very, very kind of fairy dress she had dreamed about in her most fairy dressiest dreams, and there it was. And she said, I've always wanted like one like that. But her father, being a grown up and kind of in a hurry, just said, come on, we'll find and see if we can find a dress in there. And he was showing her all these dresses, and the dress lady at the store came over and, no, I don't want that one. I don't want that one, because she knew which one she wanted. Finally, the father said, well, we don't have time to look anymore. Take this one. And it was one she didn't like. So the dress lady, store lady, hung it up in the dressing room, getting ready, and said, okay, it's hung up in there ready. You can go in and try it on. But Emily Friend knew what dress Deirdre really wanted. So just while they were going back to the back of the store to get to the dressing room, she only had a few seconds. She ran and grabbed the fairy dress out of the window and ran behind counters where nobody could see her going, and went into the dressing room and unhung the other dress and hung up the fairy dress that was there. And so the little girl was kind of sad going into the dressing room to try on that dress she didn't like. And she opened the door and looked in. And there was the fairy dress, the very one. How did it get there? And, of course, her being a kid and not a grown-up, she was able to see that little invisible friend scurrying away just in time, and she knew that she had had a secret helper. And she just wanted to stand there and admire it, and her father said, come on, put that on, let's take it. And when the store lady saw it in there, she said, I didn't put that. That wasn't the dress I thought I put in there. I don't know. This has never happened. I don't know how this happens. I'll go and get the other dress. It'll only take a... Her father, the little girl's father, Deirdre's father, said, we're in a hurry. Let's come on. And so they left, and because of Emily Friend, Deirdre, for that party and weeks and months afterward, had just the very fairy dress she wanted. Do you ever feel sometimes like grown-ups don't understand you too good? Well, there's a poem like that by Shel Silverstein. I think I'll wait till next week to tell a story. This time I'll read a poem and read a story, I think. This poem by Shel Silverstein, The Little Boy and the Old Man. Said the little boy, sometimes I drop my spoon. Said the old man, I do that too. The little boy whispered, I wet my pants. I do that too, laughed the little old man. Said the little boy, I often cry. The old man nodded, so do I. But worst of all, said the little boy, it seems grown-ups don't pay attention to me. And he felt the warmth of a wrinkled old hand. I know what you mean, said the little old man. I know what you mean, said the little old man. And now, I have a story. I got my friend Bob in New York sent me this Braille book as a gift from the Children's Braille Book Club. And you know, this story is written by William Kotzwinkel, Did you know he's the author of the book E.T., the Extraterrestrial, that the movie was made from? And it's also written by Glenn Murray, too. The title is Walter the Farting Dog, and it's dedicated to for everyone who's ever felt misjudged or misunderstood. Here's the story. Walter the Farting Dog. Betty and Billy brought Walter home from the dog pound. Nobody wanted him, said Billy. But we love him, said Betty. Well, he smells awful, said their mother. I think you'd better give him a bath. Mother walked in and said, he still smells awful. And that's when they got the first clue, the telltale bubbles in the water. He's probably just a little nervous, said Mother hopefully. His stomach must be upset. But Walter's stomach wasn't upset. Walter's stomach was fine. He felt perfectly normal. He just farted a lot. He did it when he bathed. He did it when he played with Betty and Billy. He did it when he walked around the house. He did it in the dining room. He did it in the kitchen. And he did it in his sleep. That dog farts morning, noon, and night, said Father. He can't help it, Daddy, said Betty and Billy. They didn't mind Walter's farts. So what if he farts, Billy said to Betty when they were alone in their room with Walter. Betty agreed. Walter agreed, too. He sat there, looking innocently around, farting. Take him to the vet, said Father. Farting, said the vet, or rectal flatulence, as we say in the medical profession, and prescribed a change in diet. They gave Walter every kind of dog food. He farted. They tried him on cat food. They gave him hot dogs, hamburgers, and lettuce and tomato sandwiches. They gave him fried chicken. They gave him rabbit food. They made him a vegetarian. No matter what that dog eats, he turns it into farts, roared Father. Walter got the blame for everybody else's farts, too. If Uncle Irv let one slip, he just went and stood near Walter. Then all he had to say was, Walter! And everyone would look at poor Walter. He has to go back to the pound, said Father. No, Daddy, please, Betty and Billy, said Betty and Billy. Don't send Walter away. He goes tomorrow, said Father. They pleaded. Walter farted. It was all over. That night, Betty and Billy cried in their beds, and Walter looked at them unhappily. Oh, Walter, said Betty, you've got to stop farting, because Father is going to send you back to the pound tomorrow, said Billy. Walter knew how serious the situation was. He'd never see Betty and Billy again. He resolved to hold in his farts forever. When Betty and Billy fell asleep, he walked down to the kitchen to see if there was anything around to eat. He managed to open the cupboard door with his nose and found a 25-pound bag of low-fart dog biscuits the vet had prescribed for him, which had made him fart more. Even though he knew they made him fart more, he couldn't resist. He ate the entire bag. Very tasty, said Walter to himself. And then he went and lay down on the sofa. A gigantic gas bubble began to build inside him. This is going to be trouble, he said to himself nervously. He was afraid of what might happen if he let it go. He thought maybe the house would explode. So he kept it in. It wasn't easy. In fact, it was torture. But he had resolved never to fart again. His future depended on it. As he lay there with his tail wrapped tightly between his legs, he heard a noise at the window. He watched it slowly open. A pair of burglars came through. They dropped silently into the kitchen. Watch out for the dog, said one of the burglars. He won't bite, said the other. He's a wimp. Walter might have bitten them, except he was so filled with gas he couldn't move. They tied a rag around his snout so he couldn't bark. Okay, whispered the first burglar. let's clear the place out. They took everything they could get their hands on. Walter wanted to stop them, but he was having unbearable gas pains. He rolled on his back and waved his paws in the air. He gnashed his teeth. "We've got it all," said the second burglar. "Let's go." That's when Walter let it fly. It was the worst fart of his life. It made a tremendous noise and shot him across the room. A hideous cloud filled the air. The burglars clutched their throats, unable to breathe. With tears in their eyes, they raced for the window. They tried to grab their bag with all the valuables in it, but their arms were too weak. "Let's get out of here." They jumped out the window and ran up the block, choking and gasping for air. Still blinded by Walter's attack, they stepped into the headlights of an approaching police car. "Hold it right there," said the policeman. When father and mother came down in the morning, they found the open window, and they saw the bag with their valuables in it, and Walter was sitting beside it. He still had the rag tied around his snout. You'd have to say he looked heroic. "He saved the silverware," cried mother. "He saved the VCR," cried father. "Good dog, Walter. You're our dog, even if you do fart all the time." And so the family learned to live with Walter, the hero dog. And that's the end of our tale. And in the story, tail is spelled T-A-I-L. And it has a little picture caption of a sign here. It says, "Walter's Wonder Park, 100% natural gas powered." And it shows kids on a bunch of carnival rides. The end. Well, next week, if I remember to, I'll have to tell you a story about the day that I had peas for lunch. It's one of my favorites. And I'm wishing for you that 2006 will be your best year yet. Stay strong, take care of each other, and find some time to play. Next week, I'll have another story. And it'll be one that I'll tell you instead of read you. How about that? But it is fun reading Braille, isn't it? Take care.
Begin speaking at the tone.